Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace the change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hi, Dee, once again.
Hi, Tom.
Well, please.
What?
Aren't you going to reverence me as the deacon? Hello, everyone. It is the deacon and the D.
I thought maybe you were going to give me some special name.
Reverend Deaconess D. And it's Tom and D. We're glad to be with you on Catholic Vitamins. We have two events that we're going to share with you today, both of which are joyous to my heart. D, what show is this?
This is Catholic Vitamin Y for Yearner.
Yes.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Y-E-A-R-N-E-R. Would you like to tell everybody what that means?
Well, if you yearn for holiness, if you yearn for an event, a holy and blessed event in your life, as our guest, our first guest did, her name is Bonnie Engstrom, and she's the mother of James Fulton Engstrom. And what's unusual about James Fulton is that he was born stillborn and that he did not live or breathe
for like 61 minutes,
an hour and 1 minute.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're going to cover all that. And she was yearning for a holy and lovely birth. And she had been praying to Archbishop Fulton Sheen. And so I don't want to spoil too much of the story, but
that will explain his middle name being Fulton.
Yeah, sure would. Yeah, absolutely. And then we have a special time with Sister Bridge McKenna. By popular request, we're bringing her back. And we have three or four stories that she told on a particular CD that is one of my favorites. And we have shared a little bit of one of her stories, a time or two, but we're going to share something new. It's about her being in adoration and praying before the Blessed Sacrament and Jesus speaking to her. It's a delightful story. There's a real warmness to it. There's certainly smiling to it and a powerful outcome for sure.
And we are up to episode 446 for the World Wide Web and episode 94 for KPIH 98.9.
Rim Catholic Radio in Payson, yes. Can you believe we'll be heading towards 100 shows? Wow, amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. You're getting close.
Well, dear listeners, this is Lent. We were wondering how your Lent is going. I am doing some different things for my Lent. I'll say a word or two about that. Dee, how about you? How's your
Lent? I'm actually reading.
Yes, yes. I think you mentioned that you were going to do that on the last show. I think you did.
I did.
But you are doing some reading. You want to say what you're reading or spending time?
Well, I was reading Tony Agnese's book. I'm also trying to finish another book about a walk on the Camino that I had started a long time ago.
Was that religious?
Well, yes, it is, because, yes.
Are you sure?
Well, the couple I'm reading about are Catholic.
Uh-huh, wow.
And,
I mean, are they sharing any faith witnesses?
Yes, they are.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad that you're making some progress, and I'm reading an Indian priest, and I mean from the country, India, wrote a book of daily meditations on Lenten Gospels. And while I couldn't possibly pronounce his first or last name, I am spending time each day reading his reflections on the Gospel. And I'm also doing prayers, the litany for the souls in purgatory. I finished that. And I've now started on a short litany of prayers for Holy Saint Joseph, the foster father of Jesus.
Plus, I'm also getting my daily meditations that I get online. I'm doing Matthew Kelly's. Bishop Behrens, Father Rocky from Relevant Radio.
Are you doing any sacrifice type stuff?
I didn't give anything up.
Oh, wow. Listen
I
to
just
you.
Added things.
Oh, okay. Well, in a way, that's part of what I want to say, too, because I am reluctant to talk about this. I may have mentioned in the last show. I don't remember. But I'm going to confession every week. You know, so many people, if they go to confession, God have mercy, if they go to confession, it's like once a year at Lent or once a year at another time of year, like Advent or something. And, you know, it's good that they're going to confession. But Scripture tells us that even a good man, even a good man, sins seven times a day. And so I'm trying to make myself more aware of my sinful patterns and behaviors and then taking them to confession. And so I've been three or four times already. And I thank Father Vieira, our pastor, for being there every day for an hour before Mass and available for confession. And he always has the Blessed Sacrament exposed, so Jesus is on the altar for adoration. If you're in our community, dear listeners, listening to KPIH 98.9, come spend a half an hour or an hour once a week with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Dee, I think that we should maybe take a break. I want to come back and say a word about the gospel we heard this morning at Mass about the prodigal son. But we'll take a quick break and we'll be back.
Hello, I'm Kendra Von Esch. Do you have complete trust in God? Sometimes it's hard, especially in the bad times, right? But those who have had an encounter with Jesus know something has changed and their lives will never be the same. But that's where evil begins to fight for our souls because Satan wants us back in his slimy grips. He tempts us to commit sins and puts doubts in our minds like questioning God's love for us in the trials. When this happens, let's look up to Jesus nailed on the cross, filled in agonizing pain from his head to his feet, covered in blood, and look into his eyes, which gaze down at us lovingly. Let's ask him to pour out his precious blood and protect us, and to have more faith in him, so that we can imitate his trust in the Father, who always knows best. For more inspiration, go to KendraVonEsch.com.
Well, that's our dear friend Kendra Von Esch. She really wants to come to Arizona, Dee. She said that she would use frequent traveler mileage if we could just create really? Some sort of a venue for her to come and do a talk at.
Oh, I have to work on that.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Kendra, for your reflection on suffering. Lent is a time to think about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus and to perhaps give up some things. One of the things that we're giving up is meat on Friday. I mean, the church asked us to do that, and of course we're responding to the direction of the church. We are doing soup suppers in our parish right after Stations of the Cross. So every Friday at 5:30, we do Stations of the Cross, 25 minutes or so, and then we have soup supper.
Actually, both parishes here in town are doing that.
Not so, Dee.
Well, okay, not the soup supper. We found out that the other parish, St. Philip, canceled their soup supper.
Yeah, right, right. So I'm glad that we're still doing that. Last night we had my potato soup, which
people said was very good.
And we had
there was a bean soup.
Right.
And then there was a sweet potato, creamy sweet potato soup with
mango
chutney that you put in on top of it.
Yeah, very, very unusual and very good. And then homemade bread. That guy Leroy
makes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, every week he's bringing homemade bread. I love it.
Absolutely. Well, I said that I want to say a few words about the prodigal son in this segment, Dee. It has been, ever since I read the book by Henry Nouwen about the prodigal son, it's really touched my heart, and I've preached about it probably three or four times. And the gospel was read this morning at Mass, and then Father had some words to say about the prodigal son and the importance of returning to the Father. Rather timely message for Lent and for those who have been away. He also talks about the people who have children and have them baptized, and then they don't come back. If they come back, maybe it's for CCD or confirmation, and then they don't come back. And then marriage comes, and they want to maybe have their marriage in the church. Really very anemic ways to practice the faith, and we pray that they will come back stronger in the faith for sure. Speaking of Lent, as we were doing in Lenten practices, we had an email from our good friend Joe Capolello in Italy, Pescia, Italy. And we've shared some of her writings before. It's so good to hear from Italy. She says, hello, Deacon Tom and Dee. Hope you are fine. Here in Italy, we are suffering from the coronavirus. Apart from many other problems, it's making it hard this Lent. It's very special. Last week, we could not use holy water, shake hands, receive the communion on our tongue, and we've had to keep a certain distance between people in church. From last Monday, all church celebrations have been suspended. No masses, no weddings, no funeral celebrations until at least the 5th of April. Churches are open for visits. The only mass is the live streaming of Pope Francis from St. Marta House in the morning at 7 a.m. And all the Italian population has been asked to stay at home to avoid infection. To add to this incredible situation is the fact that my husband left for a humanitarian trip to help orphans in Peru and is due back home after Easter. Can you think of a more different Lent?
Yeah. For her, it's very different.
Yeah, take care, Joe. Bless you. Dear Joe, thank you for being a faithful friend of Catholic Vitamins and to share with our listeners what's going on about the faith in Italy.
And we're seeing some of these kind of changes here in the States, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Several of the things are the same. Well, the joy of this episode of Catholic Vitamins for me personally was being able to connect with our next guest. And Bonnie was a delight to talk to. She's so busy. She they have five children. She and Travis have five children now. And she's been doing interviews and blogging and whatever. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, our first guest, Bonnie Engstrom.
When her son was crucified, why she waited in anguish, seeing Christ in torment anguish, bitter sorrow pierced her heart.
Next up on Catholic Vitamins, what a delight. I have been waiting so long for this interview and a chance to introduce our listeners, both on the web and on KPIH, RIM Catholic Radio. I've been anxious to introduce Bonnie Engstrom, author of 61 Minutes to a Miracle, Fulton Sheen, and A True Story of the Impossible. One of the shortest books that touched my heart and made my eyes get a little bit wet. A wonderful read. And Bonnie, what a joy to be with you today on Catholic Vitamins.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad that we were able to make this happen.
Amen. Amen. What a busy lady you are. So many things going on in your life. I have your book. I have, I've read it and, you're a delightful writer. Gosh, what a joy to read your writing. And I know that you have been on...
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. You've been on the web and you do other things, but you're a busy mom. So 61 Minutes to a Miracle tells the story of a young boy, James Fulton. And as our listeners are going to find out here, a miracle truly happened that involved the birth of your son, James. Maybe if we could start at the beginning, I'll just say, you know, I remember Fulton Sheen being on the TV when I was young, and my wife, Dee, was raised in a Methodist home, and she remembers her dad watching Fulton Sheen on television. When the cause for sainthood for Fulton Sheen was opened up, Bishop Jenke said that letters poured in, that prayers were answered, and there were a lot of healings. I don't know where you were at that time in terms of your devotion or your interest in Fulton Sheen. Why don't we start about the time that you discovered you were pregnant? I must tell our listeners that at the beginning of you're telling the story, you were meeting with your spiritual director, and you had had two children and one miscarriage already. And your spiritual director asked you, what would you say if you were pregnant? He found out you were pregnant today. We'll just clean it up a little bit. And you said, oh, shoot.
Right. Right.
Except the word wasn't shoot. And it made me laugh.
Right.
And I don't know how your spiritual director took it, but yeah, you were pregnant, then you found out that you were pregnant with your son.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. So when the cause opened for Fulton Sheen, I didn't really know who he was. I mean, my grandparents had kind of mentioned him. I knew that he was born and raised in the same area where I was born and raised. But it wasn't until I was pregnant with my third child that I started watching old episodes of his show, Life is Worth Living. And that was when I finally had my eyes opened. And I finally understood why so many people loved him. and my husband and I, we were watching these shows on YouTube, and we were just so captivated by him. And we knew that our diocese had opened his cause for canonization. And so we just decided that, you know, we were convinced that Fulton Sheen would someday be declared a saint by the church. And so we decided that we would name our unborn child after Fulton Sheen and put our baby under Fulton Sheen's patronage. So that was, you know, kind of the beginning of the devotion that has grown every day since for us was, oh gosh, that's almost 10 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we started asking for Fulton Sheen to pray for our baby, to, you know, watch over us, have a good healthy labor and delivery. And everything went so beautifully well during that pregnancy. And I was the home birther at the time. This was my third planned home birth. And, so, you know, we just kind of went ahead with the plan, and again, I was healthy, everything was fine. But we didn't know, you know, the night that I went into labor and everything again was healthy and fine. But we didn't know that there was a knot in our son's umbilical cord. And I mean, there's no way to know that. And so, when James was being born, as he was being born, the knot tightened, and it tightened so much that it completely cut off his oxygen supply, so that he was a stillborn. And he had absolutely no signs of life. He was not breathing. He was not moving. He was blue. And, you know, when I delivered him, my midwife caught him and then immediately handed him to me. And as I held him in my arms, his arms and his legs just dangled like a rag doll. It went from being just this beautiful, perfect, you know, almost holy. It felt anointed the night that it was so beautiful. And it went from all of that to just the most devastating moments of my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the beginning of the story.
So we're in the after birth process, and your son is not breathing. I remember reading that your husband at some point, without saying anything to anybody, got water and he baptized your son. Would you tell us about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was pretty immediate. Our midwife and her birth assistant, they immediately began CPR because they could not find a pulse anywhere on James. And so they started doing CPR. And as soon as Travis saw that, he went and he grabbed my cup of water and used that water to do an emergency baptism on James. And kind of with that, it was just this, you know, we had very intentionally named our son James Fulton, because we believe, you know, every time we speak the names of the saints that our kids are named after, we are invoking those saints. So, you know, when Travis baptized James Fulton, in that moment, he was not only pronouncing our son's name, but he was invoking the prayers of Fulton Sheen. And then we had a friend who was present, and as soon as she heard Fulton Sheen's name as part of James's name during that baptism, she had just a powerful, almost mystical experience where she just found this had this profound feeling that God's presence and Fulton Sheen's presence were there in that room with our son, with all of us, but for our son. Mm-hmm. And then I was sitting just kind of watching everything, and I was going into a state of shock and really just shutting down. I couldn't process really. I didn't know what to think. I couldn't think, but I very clearly remember, as I was watching everything happen, in my head saying Fulton Sheen, Fulton Sheen, Fulton Sheen, just over and over and over again. And I very sincerely believe that the Holy Spirit was leading me to kind of rely on this habit that I had built over the months of my pregnancy to ask for the prayers of this man who I had been, you know, for months I had been asking for his prayers. And in this moment where there was nothing that I could do, I was calling on him to kind of bridge that gap for me and pray the prayers that needed to be said and then make, you know, implore our Lord. So in those kind of three instances, in that moment when our son is laying dead on our bedroom floor, those were three exact ways that Fulton Sheen was called upon. His intercession was asked for in those moments. Mm-hmm. So, and then our friend Jenny, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please let me not interrupt. Go ahead, Jenny.
Okay, so our friend Jenny, who was present, she went then and called 911. The paramedics came, and we had been so hopeful that they would be able to intubate James and get a breathing tube into him so he would be getting a steady oxygen supply, but they did not have those resources. So they, they took him, they took James and my husband to our local hospital, and then I was taken in a separate ambulance to the hospital. And the entire hospital, or I'm sorry, the entire ambulance ride, James was hooked to a heart monitor, and he did not have a pulse. Mm-hmm. It was about a 20-minute ride, and there was just nothing, you know. And then when he arrived at the emergency room, you know, they did everything that they could to restart his heart. Giving him medications and trying different things. And, you know, they would watch his heart with a sonogram machine, and there was never an organized heartbeat. It might like flutter or twitch because of the epinephrine or whatever he was given, but there was never a pulse. And so, finally the doctors, decided to call, it was time to call time of death. And it was the moment that everyone stopped working on James. All hands were off. That was the moment when his heart started to beat again. And it just shot right up to 147 beats per minute. And that was after not having a heartbeat for 61 minutes.
Oh my.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Then you'd have fear then about what sort of child James would be with that amount of time with no oxygen and no breathing. We'll short circuit a longer story, respecting the time that we have with you today. How did you find your son to be? Did they run tests on him afterwards to find out how his brain was functioning?
So there was an MRI done, in the first 24 to 36 hours of his life. And that MRI showed pretty extensive brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
And once they, you know, they only they knew that for 20 minutes he had been in the emergency department and did not have a heartbeat. And based on that information, they expected massive organ failure and for James to die again in a matter of, you know, hours to days. We didn't really know. And so once we added up the time from when he was born to when his heart started again, and it was over an hour, I mean, everyone definitely expected James to die. And so that was what we were first facing. But once, but he start, you know, praise God, he didn't. He didn't die. And he even started showing some signs of improvement. And so then they really said, okay, he's going to live, and he's going to have a very long list of complications and disabilities and special needs. And that, you know, that was... We were so grateful to have our son, but it was also hard to hear, you know, everything that we, you know, when you're pregnant and you daydream about the life of the child that you're pregnant with, that's not kind of, you know, your daydreams don't envision your child being blind and having the mental capacity of an infant and being strapped to a wheelchair, you know. So there was a lot of things that we had to mourn with that. But through it all, we just kept praying for a miracle. We kept praying and asking Fulton Sheen to pray for and with us that our son would be miraculously healed. So
that's the brief story. Yeah, that's the brief story of this. What is written in 61 minutes to a miracle, Fulton Sheen, and a true story of the impossible by Bonnie Engstrom. This is in our Sunday Visitor publication. And do you have a website, Bonnie?
I do. It's BonnieEngstrom.net.
Okay. And how's your son doing today?
He's great. He's 9 years old. He's in third grade. He loves riding his bike. He loves chicken nuggets. He loves Star Wars. He's just a normal third grade boy.
Praise God. And thank the Lord God for the gift of the intercession of Fulton Sheen. And I just really thank you for writing this book. For most of us, when we hear about miracles that have happened, it's something that happened to someone else. But to be able to be a part of your story and to hear the drama and the joy and the faith boost is just such a gift. Thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins. We really appreciate your time today.
Yes, thank you so much. God bless you and your listeners.
Delight to spend time with Bonnie Engstrom and to hear about the drama, the sadness, the unexpected turn in an otherwise happy and blessed event, but then to enjoy the miracle, the gift of the Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Fulton Sheen, for interceding. Dee, I gave you a couple articles to read. Did you get a chance?
Yes, I did. I read the articles about her in the National Catholic Register. This was back in December, and I read those. And, you know, you have the book. We have the book here, so I will read the book, the whole book.
Yeah, it's actually a great read. And as I said before and during the interview, she has a sense of humor. She has a sense of drama. She has a sense of the spiritual and what a gift all this was. Dear friends, I hope you have a patron saint or two or three or nine, and that you are praying to those saints and asking them to intercede for you as you journey. Well, I have a devotion to Saint Joseph in my life, among others, certainly the Blessed Mother, and I've been asking Saint Joseph to help us with our new radio station project. If you're out in the World Wide Web and wondering what that's about, we are in the process of starting to build up for a move, the same physical building address, but
from a little two-room, small two-room suite down a floor to a bigger suite.
With in the place we are now, there's a slanted ceiling, and I have
to hit your heads on.
Yes, yes. When the bishop came to bless the studio 3.5 years ago, he banged his head about 3 or 4 times. I was so embarrassed, but he had to laugh at himself. And yes, we are through the goodness of our listeners, regular donors and things, we're able to get some equipment to help us in this move. And we hope that we're able to afford a little larger rent payment. Thanks be to God, and thanks be to St. Joseph.
And it'll be so nice for any visitors who want to come and see the studio and visit us to be able to come in on the ground floor rather than go up this flight of steps to a second level when those steps were terrible.
Yeah, right, right. Well, dear friends, we're going to take a break, and then we have our second guest, Sister Bridge McKenna, and this is from a Franciscan University CD, and we have had an arrangement with Franciscan University to share segments of some of the speaker events that they have there. And if you don't know about Sister Bridge McKenna, I just hope you'll get a chance to read her book, Miracles Do Happen, and we'll talk about that on the other side of our time with her, and we'll be back.
Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone. Did you ever realize that those who defend abortion use the very same words that Jesus himself used to teach the world the meaning of love? This is my body. This is my body, some say. I will do with it what I want, even if it means killing the child. This is my body, Jesus said, given up for you, that you may have life. I don't cling to it and control it so that you die. I give it away so that you live. We never find happiness by pushing someone else out of the way. We only find it when we push ourselves out of the way and make room for the other. Abortion is the opposite of love. Let us work together to bring it to an end and to choose life. This is Father Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life.
When others come speaking a different message, and that's why to be a witness, we need to, all of us are called to witness to the truth, to God's word. And I'll give you a very good example. One day, I got this word. I was sitting at the Blessed Sacrament. I was sitting there in front of Jesus, just looking at him. And I was, you know, just adoring the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me. Now, how did I know it was him? Well, this is what it said. And those who are from Ireland will know this word. Our Prime Minister is called An Taoiseach in Ireland, even though I'm in America 40 years, but I'm still Irish. I'm sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament in Dublin, in my generalate, and the Lord spoke to me and he said these words: I want you to go and see the Taoiseach. He wants to speak to you, but I want to speak to him. And I'm in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and it's 9:15 in the morning. And I was after making a 30-day retreat and was just coming out of the retreat, you know, like I'd just come back from the Jesuit retreat center. So I spent a few days, you know, you're encouraged to wait a few days, and, you know, not to get back into work fully. And I thought, well, this is the effect of the 30-day retreat. I'm hearing voices. And I thought, there is no way. I don't even know the man. I knew that he was going to be taking over the European presidency of the European Parliament. And so I thought, I could hear the voice ringing in my, you know, the Taoiseach wants to speak to you, but I want to speak to him. And I thought about it and I said, well, now, if I don't do it, I'll never know, was it Jesus? And if I do it, well, I have to be a fool. So I decided, it was as if the Lord said, but I do speak. If you promised you were going to witness for me and let me speak through you, then do it. So I called up a senator's wife. I thought, now I'll put it before her. And I called her at 9:30 in the morning. It was 9:15 that I got this word. So when I called her, I said to her, I know you're going in because her husband is in the was in the parliament. I said, you know, I had this unusual message. And she said, oh, that's beautiful. I'll be seeing him today. I'll tell him. I thought, oh, my God. I mean, so anyway, she was all enthusiastic. So I left it and I said, well, look at, you know, what, do whatever you want with it. At 10 o'clock that night, she phoned me and she said to me, let me tell you what happened. She said, I went into the Prime Minister, I'll call him Prime Minister's office, and I said to him, you know, Mr. Fish, Sister Breach McKenna. He said, oh, stop, stop. She said, why are you reacting like that towards her? Do you know her? He said, no. But he said, you know something? This morning at 9:15, I was sitting here. And he said, you know, he said, I put my hands on my head and I said, you know, God. He wasn't sure whether it was a prayer now or not, but this is what he said. Oh, God, I'd love to meet Sister Breach, get her to pray with me. What do you hear? So then she said to him, and he wasn't a very, I would say, spiritual man. He was a Catholic, but I'll say no more about him. But anyway, so she said to him, well, you know, Sister Breach called me at 9:30 this morning and she said that you wanted to talk to her. Well, he definitely thought the office was bugged. And all he kept saying to her was, but how does she know? How did she know? And the woman was beside her, so she says, I don't really know how she know. I never asked her. So, of course, he couldn't wait. You know, he wanted me to come in. But she said, he wants you to go in. So I said, well, I can't go in because I had meetings the next day. But anyway, then I said, but I don't have anything to say to him. I said, why am I going? And, you know, those are the minutes when, you know, you say, oh, my God, I better pray, you know. So I got up the next morning, like 5 o'clock wasn't early. I got up at 4 o'clock and I went down to the chapel and here I am sitting and I'm saying, listen, Jesus, you only give me a bit of a message. You said you wanted to talk to him. And I kept saying, but Lord, you better tell me, what am I supposed to say to him? And I think I heard the Lord saying, it's really none of your business. Okay? So I thought, well, that doesn't help me much, you know. So then, you know, for security, because we're all human, I thought, well, maybe, you know what I do? I'll go into Veritas and I'll buy him a New Testament. And if nothing comes, I'll have the New Testament to give to him. Say, here, mister, my lack of faith. So I got my New Testament and I begged the Lord. And I have to tell you that I often think I see the Lord looking at me, smiling and saying, if you'd only let me do what I want to do. Don't be always questioning me, but I do. You know, I said, are you sure it's you that's talking to me? Anyway, I go in. They sent a big government car out for me. And I'm ushered in to the Prime Minister's office. All I remember is, you know, lots of security people. So I asked them, would they leave? I said to myself, this is my chance. He's not going to give me another chance to talk to him. So I said, you know, Mr. Thishik, I think it would be far better. I'll see you all alone. Oh, he said, oh, yes, I'm going to see you alone. Now, do you know the miracle? Is that he kept asking me, why? How did you know? How did you know? And I remember looking at him and saying to him, do you believe in the resurrection? And he said, yes. Yes, of course I believe. Well, I said, Jesus is alive. And just because you whispered that in your office, he heard it and I was over there in the other side of the city sitting with him. And he whispered it back to me to go. You know, as I started to pray with him, and I will never forget this man looked at me and said, "But who told you that?" And I had no clue what I said to him. And he wept. And God really ministered powerfully. And he kept saying to me, "But how do you know these things?" And isn't that what it said, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you don't have to know. All you have to know is that to be a witness for Jesus is to say, "Here I am, Lord. If you want to use me, use me." And, you know, I meet people and say, "Oh, God couldn't use me. You know, I'm just a little housewife. Or, you know, I don't have much theology, neither do I. I'm a first grade teacher." And, you know, that man would never have heard. Whether he responded, that's not my responsibility. My business is not if he responds to it. My mission is to obey the Lord and do what the Lord asks me to do. And, you know, it's the same with our families. You can't convert your family, but you can do what Jesus asks you to do. You can be a witness to your family. And it's through our witness and how we live for Jesus and how we live our lives that it's people begin to be drawn. So anyway, I prayed with him. And when I was leaving, I remembered I had the Bible, the little New Testament. And he held it and he said, "I'll take it with me to Europe." And when I was going out the door of his office, I turned around to him because I didn't know what I said to him in the moments that I was praying with him and got a prophetic word. But now I knew. So I looked at him and I said, "Listen here, Mr. Taoiseach. This is a Catholic country, and your mother..." I knew who his mother was. I said, "Your mother was a good Catholic. Don't you be going over there to Europe and denying Jesus." And he looked at me and said, "Okay, sister." But I share this with you because to be a witness, you have to be willing to risk. We have to be willing to let Jesus use us. The world is in a desperate state for witnesses to Jesus Christ. There's people out, you know. You meet them, I meet them. Out with all kinds of false prophets, propaganda. There's New Age people out there spreading. And we have the guarantee because you and I are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said to us, "Go in my name and with my power." And you, the message that we have is powerful. And it will never fail. All we have to do, brothers and sisters, is to believe in this powerful gospel. And I tell, you know, one of the privileges I have is ministering to priests. And you know what I say to them and bishops? Many of you are business people. Many of you work in the business world. And if you're going to be successful in a business, you have to have good marketing skills, right? And this is what I tell the clergy. I said, if you don't market your product well, people are not going to buy it. I said, just look what happens. Being a first grade teacher, I know that every gimmick that comes, the little kids see it on television and the mothers have to buy it for them and the fathers, whether it's Winnie the Pooh or all kinds of dolls and whatnot. Marketing. For us, and I tell the clergy, we have to market the gospel. We have to be so full of zeal. And when I say this, but we also have to market the Catholic Church. This church that we is our mother. And, you know, if you're apologizing, I tell them, I say, you know, fathers, if you are not full of zeal and if you're politically correct and you're afraid to offend people and you're not sure should you say this, I said, the great thing about Catholics is that when you get up in the morning, you don't have to worry about or think, what am I going to say about this issue or this issue or this issue? We have a church that gives us a clear teaching on everything we need. Right?
Well, I have a soft spot in my heart for Franciscan University, and I thank them for the gift of some segments that we can borrow from time to time from their speaker events. And I have been at Franciscan University during the summer and had Sister Bridge McKenna a couple times speak to us, the priests and deacons. She's a delight. She's a very, very holy nun, and she had a miraculous healing in her life. And she's a very powerful force for the Eucharist, and she's a great advocate for priests, prays for them and for bishops. Dear, how about if we do a giveaway?
Well, we started this last time, so we're going to continue on with this. I have in my hand a DVD titled Sacred Relics of the Saints, Treasures of the Church. And this is by Father Carlos Martins. I'm just going to see who put this out, but I can't see who did that.
All right.
Anyhow, the other one is CD set, a 3-CD set. Entitled Our Lady of Guadalupe, Queen of the Americas. And this is by Jesse Romero.
That'd be very, very good.
So either one of these, if you would like to have them, not both, but one, you'll get one.
Sacred Relics of the Saints, Treasures of the Church.
Or Our Lady of Guadalupe, Queen of the Americas. Send an email to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. Or if you're local, in town.
Well, you could be in Mozambique, you can still call our radio station hotline, so to speak.
That's
928-363-4144. 928-363-4144. Leave your information and your desire for either of those CDs. Well, Dee, I don't know if I had the foresight to think that this show was going to be about life and about childbirth. And we had the Priest for Life spot on after the interview with Bonnie Engstrom, and about witness to life, among other things, but with Sister Bruce McKenna. And I've had on my heart in my prayer for quite a while, I've had a sensitivity to children's issues. I think about children here in our community that, they're just not being properly raised, and they have poor improper influence. Excuse my struggling for words. Many of them need foster homes, and some need advocates before the courts for them. And another thing that came to me was the issue about child trafficking, well, actually human trafficking, but about children. And I reached out to Risa in Pennsylvania. She's been a longtime listener, and I've been holding this for a little while. She has been an advocate for prayer and intercession and protection for those who are caught up in human trafficking. So she sent an email, thank you for your kind words. And yes, so often victims will not recognize themselves as such. Their boyfriend or father or brother or mother or uncle has coerced them, force them, psychologically abuse them. The best thing we can do is pray for them, for sure. There is so much we will never know, and I don't need to know or want to, but my heart breaks just thinking about it. God bless you for sharing this issue with your listeners. Be sure to share the National Human Trafficking Hotline, and there's a contact number, 888-373-7888. This is the National Human Trafficking Hotline, 888-373-7888.
It says anyone can call and report what they see, and the victims can call and get help.
Sure, and this is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they have English, Spanish, and 200 more languages available to support a caller. And there is a website, humantraffickinghotline.org, humantraffickinghotline.org. So you and I are sitting in an ordinary community in north central Arizona, D, but there is a direct path from down south where the border is up north, and they may be passing right through this area with with the people inside the trucks or whatever, and being forced to live lives they wouldn't choose to live. So I hope that our listeners will add the issue of human trafficking to their prayers, and that if there's anything that they observe, to please Go ahead.
And I'd like to thank Risa for bringing this to our more to our attention over the last couple of years with sharing the things that she's been involved in.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break, and we will be back.
Every year, my wife, Diane, and I spend a good part of the month of March in Naples, Florida. Hi, this is Tony Agnese. Naples is a wonderful place, very upscale, lots of retirees who have had successful careers. Last year at Ash Wednesday Mass, during the homily, the priest mentioned that he had received several calls in the past few days asking him about the rules for fasting. How old do you have to be not to be required to fast, was the question. Well, said the priest, it's 59, which includes about 99% of you. He went on to give a great homily on what fasting should be about. And at the end of Mass, before the concluding hymn, he reminded all in attendance that we abstain from meat on Ash Wednesday. He said, you know, if you're at the Turtle Club tonight for dinner, don't order that 16-ounce steak. Well, that night, we just happened to have reservations at that very restaurant, and as we sat waiting for our waiter to finish taking an order at a nearby table, we couldn't help but overhear the conversation. I'll have the New York strip, said the elderly gentleman. No, honey, his wife exclaimed. Father said, don't have the steak tonight. Okay, then, he replied as he looked at the waiter. I'll have the lobster instead. Apparently, the priest's message got lost somewhere in its meaning in the hours that followed Mass. It reminded me of myself as a kid. I'd give up candy for Lent only to gorge myself on chocolate Easter bunnies and peeps and marshmallow eggs from my overstuffed basket on Easter morning. Or the time I gave up broccoli and asparagus. I dislike them both. Or watermelon, which I love, but it's out of season, so no problem. It's hard to admit, but it seemed that I may have missed the similar homily years ago. That's the problem I have with rulebook Catholicism. We are so fixated on following the rules that we miss the reason for the tradition. It has nothing to do with our age or finding the right loophole. It's about trying to have our best Lent ever. It's about taking the three pillars of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and making them more meaningful in your life. It's about giving up your smartphone in the evening to spend more quality time with your family. It's about giving up Facebook and taking that time to read an uplifting book, commit to a daily devotional, say a rosary, or pray the Stations of the Cross. It's about giving up complaining, gossiping, or meaningless texting, and instead volunteer at a food pantry. It's about giving up that double mocha latte and donating the money to a charity. Most people give up the same thing every year, and truth be told, if you fit into that category, then you need to do something different if you're going to have a meaningful Lenten season. Try doing something you haven't done before, something different, something out of character for you. It'll have much more meaning. Giving up chocolate, soda pop, alcohol, or fast foods may meet the minimum requirements, but we should ask the question that Pope Francis suggested in his Ash Wednesday homily last year. Does my fasting benefit someone else? Then our Lenten fast won't be all about us, but it'll be about being like that Good Samaritan. Let's take some time these next few days and think about what we really want to get out of Lent this year. Let's think about how our spiritual life can grow as we prepare to have our best Easter ever. Let's do this together, my friend. This is Tony Agnese.
Our good friend Tony Agnese, who was a recent speaker in our community, and he's been off and moving around. He's been speaking in Ohio, where he's from, but in other places, Pennsylvania and whatever. He's now down in Florida.
I know. I've been following him on Facebook.
Dear friends, if you would like to get a wonderful speaker into your community and someone who can tell wonderful, uplifting stories, inspiring stories, TonyAgnese.com would be our recommendation.
So the story he just told was not in the book I'm currently reading. But I have his other two books on my nightstand, too.
I just wanted to say that Dee and I were looking at something. I went to Google. I said, how long can a person live without breathing? And I found a very quick answer. After 5 to 10 minutes of not breathing, you are likely to develop serious and possibly irreversible brain damage The one exception is when a young person stops breathing and is also becomes very cold at the same time, like if a child is plunged into cold water in a pool or something and drowns. And there's a little graphic that says, you know, 1 minute the brain cells begin to die if there's no breathing. And at 3 minutes, serious brain damage is likely. And at 10 minutes, many brain cells have died and the patient is unlikely to recover. And at 15 minutes, recovery is virtually impossible. So here we've had this story that we have been able to share with our listeners, the story of John Fulton Engstrom, told by his mother. And he was without any breathing at all, without oxygen.
For a little over an hour.
Yeah, what a beautiful, beautiful story. And I know you had the name of the book there. Did you write that down?
Yeah, 61 Minutes to a Miracle, Fulton Sheen, A True Story of the Impossible.
Dear friends, we are so blessed to be able to share inspiring stories, conversion stories, reversion stories, and we enjoy bringing you Catholic Vitamins. For those of you who have hung with us all this time, thank you. For those who stumble onto us from time to time, we're glad to have you with us. And I just spent time setting up an interview that'll be for our next show, and it'll be an inspiring interview, I'm sure. Dee, thank you for your background and administrative work and your setup getting ready for shows. And dear friends, pray for us. We regularly pray for all the guests we've had on the show. We also pray for our listeners, right?
Right.
Dear friends, plunge on in the Lenten journey and try to add some new things, whether it's fasting, special activities, but
gratitude.
Yeah, make your relationship with the Lord all the more real during this season of Lent.
We're expressing gratitude right now for all the rain we had this week.
I'm getting a little tired of it, but yes. Yeah.
Well, I know we need rain. We don't like to complain because we always need rain here in Arizona, but 3 or 4 days in a row,
Yeah, I know. Dear friends, thanks for being with Catholic Vitamins. We'll see you on the next show.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.